Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Seed of Simon by Michael E. Goings is a story of a young African-American man who has a recurring dream of the trail of suffering of Christ, where Simon of Cyrene is compelled to carry the cross of Jesus, unbeknown to Raphael Smith, his historical lineage to Simon. Michael Goings attended the American International College in Springfield, Massachusetts, and served 3 years in the Army. He has been a pastor, noted author, and historian for more than 40 years. Michael and his wife, Dr. Louise Goings, live in Dillon, South Carolina. And Michael Goings, author of Seed of Simon, is our guest on This Week in America. Michael, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. And I count it a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I'm looking forward to this, and you've done such a remarkable job with this story and receiving excellent reviews. Where did the idea come from for this novel, Seed of Simon?
Well, it came about 3 or 4 years before the COVID. And, you know, I've always been a fiction writer, but I hadn't published a fiction book. I've written quite a few novels that I didn't submit, and I got quite a few published nonfiction books as a pastor, a teacher of certain things, you know, from a biblical worldview.
Yes.
But the idea came to me, and I believe, Brother Rick, it was from the Lord to write a novel around Simon of Cyrene picking up the cross on the Via della Rosa, way of suffering, and connect that with a young man, a young African-American man who would be having a dream about the Via della Rosa and would know the meaning or the significance of it. So the ideal of it really came from that. And like most of the things that I write, and mostly every writer, once you start writing, the story begins to control itself. You be in it, but it's like it's controlling itself.
Yes.
From chapter to chapter, and from character to character. And so the rest is history. Now we have the full novel of Seed of Simon.
And the book is available at wherever you buy books, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, all of those. And if you go to our website, you can link on directly to Michael's Amazon page, get information, order the book there as well. What kind of research went into Seed of Simon? As you were preparing this and the story, how much research did you have to do background before you wrote it?
Quite a bit. And see, I've been doing this almost 50 years. And a lot of my research has been historical and studying and to, you know, as a bishop and a teacher, a pastor. But quite a bit of research had to go into it about some technical things and things that were specific that I had to be detailed about. But I would say, Brother Rick, the greatest percentage of my research has been over the years where I have stored up a plethora of information, and I keep things that I read, and I'm an avid reader. I like to read newspapers and magazines, and when I was coming up, I used to read the encyclopedia. I used to read the dictionary. Yeah, I've been an avid reader all of my life, and God has blessed me with, I won't say photographic memory, but I can memorize a lot of things going back to 2 years of age. So it came from an assortment of places and ways, from keeping a volume,
yes,
keeping records of things that I read about, and then I say to myself, this will be good in a future story, because see, I'm a newspaper columnist too.
Yeah, I've read some of your columns. So you were multi-talented in terms of writing. Where did this come from? Where did this ability to write come from?
Well, let me tell you, Brother Rick, ever since I was small, I was a daydreamer. I come from a family of 10, two sisters and 8 brothers. And I would be sitting in the corner playing with little sticks. We were so poor, they couldn't buy me little soldiers. So I would have matches, and then I would have break little straw off as opposing armies fighting one another. And I was living it in my mind. I always had a vivid imagination. I was so vivid in my imagination that when I was coming up picking cotton, you know, I come up in the cotton picking days and Jim Crow days, and my mama would holler at me because I'd be counting the birds and watching the cars passing by and the bees, and I'd be daydreaming about a story of the little men flying on the birds and the bees and the cars and all of that. And my mama would holler, "Michael, if you don't get back to picking that cotton, I'm having your daddy to beat your butt when you get home."
Wow.
Yeah. And so I would start back picking, but I would still go back to daydreaming. I'm going to tell you something what happened when I was coming up in school from second grade through even the 12th grade. I would always doodle on my paper.
Paper.
And children would know my other friends and students, you know, peers would know which paper was mine because I would be doodling little images of monsters and men and different things. And they would know, they would say, "This got to be Michael Gorin's paper right here." Because I can tell, they would kind of laugh at me. Look at all this doodling on this paper. But I learned later that that was an outlet to my creativity.
You know, it's amazing. You talk about what you see and this vivid picture that you have in your mind as you're living with the stick soldiers and in that world that you created. That carries over as an adult into Seed of Simon. One of the reviews talks about that the picture you create is so vivid and clear, you actually feel that you are there. Did you have that as you were writing the story? I'm sure it played out in your mind. Talk about that process. Did it feel like you were actually there as the story was unfolding?
Oh, you got it. Absolutely. I not only was the writer, but I became captive as a reader.
Yes.
As it unfolded, I couldn't help myself. I was writing. There was two people. I was writing, but yet in the story. I wasn't the main character, an antagonist, a protagonist, anything like that, but I was there watching. I was there watching when Simon picked up that cross, and all throughout the story, as Raphael Smith goes through his different stages and phases in the story, I'm right there. I'm right there watching, but yet writing, watching and writing.
Yes,
fascinated and captivated, intrigued by it.
Well, and you will be too as a reader. The book is Seed of Simon by Michael E. Goings, G-O-I-N-G-S. The book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk a little bit of sort of a brief description of the book and why this is such an important message, so important that you made this, as I understand, your first published novel. Or give us an overview of the message, the storyline in Seed of Simon.
Well, the storyline and the plot is that God chooses, selects a young African-American man, and he gives him an ability, a gift. It's a gift from God. And then it takes you through the different phases of him finding out about he has this gift. And it first begins with the healing of Mr. George Clements. And he gave blood, unbeknown to him. And Raphael, as they called him, had never gotten sick in his life. He didn't understand why. But his mama told him he had never been sick. And so he decided to give blood. And he gave blood. And Mr. George Clement was dying from an inoperable, incurable cancer. And mysteriously, miraculously, he was healed, completely healed. They'd given him about, I think, from 6 weeks to a couple of months to live, and they could prolong his life through a blood transfusion. But when he got the transfusion, he was automatically, immediately healed from every trace of the cancer. And the oncologists and the doctors and everybody who was assigned to his case was completely befuddled and dumbfounded. And they didn't know how it happened. And so what they did, they knew that nothing they gave him, the radiation, and all of that, chemotherapy, they didn't know that didn't do it. The medicine and the techniques they were using didn't have an effect. And so they discovered somebody's blood had some enzymes and proteins in it that brought about this immediately and miraculous healing. I guess I'm laying the foundation of how it starts. And they checked all the people who gave blood, and they kept a sample of the blood donors, and they found out that it was this young man named Raphael Smith was the one whose blood actually possessed the enzymes and the protein to bring about that miraculous and supernatural healing. And so it starts. And then Simon, Raphael, is hounded by big pharmaceutical companies and others who have interest in, I guess, what you would call $1 million blood, may say $1 trillion blood, because they wanted to merchandise his blood because it healed. And so what happens is that they came after him, and the Lord, in his sovereignty, connected him with two people. You know, a Jewish messianic guy who had turned to the Lord as a messianic Christian, a doctor, a professor, and one of his friends that was the head of his security team named Carlos Rodriguez. And so they team up together, and they go through the story, go through the whole plot and storyline with Raphael. And there was this young lady he meets called Rachel. And she is a reporter. Oh, yeah, she's a reporter, and she finds out about it. And she is, I guess, the female protagonist in the story. And so they go through different adventures and different things throughout the book. Some things become renowned, worldwide renowned about what happens through their adventures. Of Raphael and Dr. David and Carlos, as they travel in different parts of the world and certain parts of America. One interesting thing is that they came on Halloween night. They found out about some children having been kidnapped, and they were able to trace them down. And with the children, they was getting ready to sacrifice the children on All Saints Night, Halloween Night, and different scenes like that in it that seizes the attention of the reader, and it goes from one scene to another like that. Raphael and his partners go throughout different places performing healings and miracles, even to a children's hospital. Went in the children's hospital, and all of the children in this hospital that was suffering from a particular disease, cancer, were healed. And so it really goes through that way. And in the end, they found out that the Lord, they discover that there are other people around the world that the Lord is giving certain types of gifts. As it says, he'll pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So, bringing a summation to it, they found out that Raphael is not the only one who has a particular gift. And David, the Jewish doctor and professor, is the one who helps Raphael to find out that he is an actual descendant of Simon of Cyrene. And the way he became a descendant was through Simon's one of Simon's two sons, Alexander and Rufus. And their descendants were brought to America way back in the days of slavery, and didn't know Raphael didn't know who his descendants were. But they discovered that way back in the time of slavery, some of his descendants came to America, and they passed that gene on down from Simon of Cyrene, because when he picked up the cross, the blood of Jesus penetrated Simon's DNA and altered it. But they didn't have the technology back then to discover what had happened.
Yes.
And it wasn't meant for them to know, because it was meant for this age, for the time we're living in now, to be centered in his descendant, Raphael Smith.
What an amazing storyline and characters that come alive in Michael Goying's book, Seed of Simon, book available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places, a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book has suspense. It's a captivating read. It's an intriguing read. Things come upon us that we were not expecting. Tell me a little bit about writing that way. Did it just happen, or did you lay out some of these twists and turns and building the suspense in the storyline? Because you've done a masterful job in telling that. Was this an outline, or just somebody assisting you along the way as you're telling the story?
Both. Outline. I usually write some an outline, yes. But then within the outline, it takes on the twists and the turns. It takes on every chapter, and every character in that chapter begins to, you know, come alive. And it is, if I had no control about what was coming together, the drama, the intrigue, the excitement that was coming together from chapter to chapter. So I would say both. I start with an outline of from chapter to chapter. And I have a general idea, like every book has a plot, every chapter has a plot,
yes.
And a storyline. And so I begin to write within that storyline as it come to me.
And then had an open mind as you were doing it, and the story is just so well told. It's Seed of Simon, Michael E. Goings, our guest on the program. Time going by so quickly, I want to talk about age group, audience you're hoping to reach with the story. Any particular target demographic group you're after?
Well, I'm thinking, I believe it will reach any age group, especially I would think from about 12 to 100.
Oh, yes, yes.
12 to 100 years of age, it is a religious novel, a religious novel, but the demographic would be any age group from about 12 to 100.
I mentioned the fact that readers will say this is really a vivid story that comes to life. Any thought about adapting this to a film or a motion picture possibly?
It is ironic you would say that. I have a team working with me right now, and they are trying to develop, putting together a film strip. They're putting together a film strip. Amazingly, how this publishing company got in touch with me. It was about one book I had written called Free at Last, The Reality of Racism in the Church. And they wanted to redo that book because of the relevance of the subject and what I dealt with in it.
Yes.
But I was still under contract with that one, and I told them I can't get out from under the contract. Got a little while left. But I said, look, I got a novel. I got a manuscript. You want to read that? And they said, well, yes, send it to us and we'll read it. And so that's how all of this came about when they read it and they got excited about it. And they are actually working on a film strip.
That would be excellent. And I do see this a video presentation of some kind. The story is so well told and so visual as you're telling it. It would make a great motion picture or a television series. Seed of Simon is the name of the book. What are you working on now?
Well, I just finished something that they used to do maybe 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, a serial in our local newspaper.
Oh,
and it was
great.
Yeah. I did a serial. You know, I did, about 8 chapters in a serial. I could have went longer than that, but I use my column each week. And it's called, and I like this. I believe this is going to be another novel that will, you know, make an impact. It's called The Last Prayer. And here's how The Last Prayer works. The plot was that this man went to the Department of Transportation, and you know, in our Department of Transportation, they have donor signups. You can sign up to be an organ donor.
Oh yes.
And he saw that and he couldn't shake it, and so he signed up to be an organ donor. That if you know something happened to him, he wanted his organs to be harvested to help people live. But he prayed to God, and this is why it's called The Last Prayer. he prayed to God that everyone who would get any of his organs, or blood, or if they get his heart, or liver, or kidneys, whatever it was, that they would be saved. That they would be saved. And so he dies right after he signs up and makes this prayer. He gets in a car wreck and dies. And so the plot is about God sovereignly fulfilling his prayers, that everybody who got some of his organs gave their life to the Lord.
Well, it's a powerful...
God divinely populated it.
That will be a fascinating read, and I hope that you do that fairly soon and you let us know, and we can talk about that as well. I love your imagination. Little did your mother know when you were picking up those little sticks and having these imaginary fights in your mind with bringing the sticks alive, it would lead to something like this, an amazing storyteller. Michael, thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. And you keep up the good work that you're doing.
Well, you're touching a lot of people with your message and your entertaining storytelling. And this book in particular, Seed of Simon by Michael Goings, the book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. I thank GlassLink Solutions for arranging our conversation with Michael on the program today. And, of course, if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll find a link there, the Amazon link for Michael. Go there directly, get information on the book, and purchase it there as well. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.